Hello.
Armando Iannucci, the only man on Radio 1.
Get your tractors off our lawn.
Hello, we opened fairly unsurprisingly now actually with Duke by Duke. That's three bored housewives from Rotterdam. Apparently had a common interest in syncopated backbeats. Already 1 minute to show, and we've got a massive problem because I chose this piece of music some time ago as my theme tune, only to discover yesterday that it's gone straight into the charts, hit number 3, destroying all credibility instantly, but showing that I do have all 9 of my fingers on the pulse. Anyway, hello, I'm Armando Iannucci, and you'll be spending the next hour in my company, and the only way I'm going to get through this thing is through a mixture of fear and ambition. Later on, all religious strife sorted out in 60 minutes, some of the funniest ever wind-up phone calls broadcast on British radio, international news seen from a distinctly Berkshire perspective, tramp karaoke, fight of my life, a regular spot in which I'll be reading out your letters, or detailing some of the best fights you've had, the good fortune to be involved in, and cards for all occasions, a selection of some of the finest greeting card messages now available in the shops for any eventuality.
Being with you is the greatest gift. You seek no favours or apology. So this is to say how appalled we are you've converted to Scientology.
Here's Nine Inch Nails.
On 1FM, Sex with Transistors.
Nine Inch Nails' new album, The Downward Spiral, out today. That's Mr. Self-Destruct, the first track on it. Don't go any further. The rest is rubbish. Throughout the programme, we're going to be providing you with information on all the pieces of music we're playing, provided by the graphics department of ITV's The Chart Show.
Nine Inch Nails are a fraud. There are, in fact, only 8 of them.
Nine Inch Nails used to be known as Rulalenska. Their new name comes from reversing the lead singer's name, Trent Reznor.
The lead singer of Nine Inch Nails recently spent all his money on footballs.
Get your tractors off our lawn.
Throughout the programme, I'm going to be joined by David Schneider, Rebecca Front, Peter Bainham, Richard Herring and a tram. So more from them later. Just before we start the show, I made several of perhaps the funniest wind-up phone calls ever transmitted on national radio. Here's the first one.
Hello?
Hi, is Katrina there, please?
Sorry?
Is Katrina there?
You've got the wrong number.
Sorry. Thanks.
Okay.
And we'll have more of that stuff later. Okay, we'll be taking your phone calls, but we'll be mainly ringing out this week. All sorts of competitions and things that we want you to ring in with and post in. I'll give you more details of those later. But first of all... Oh, hello. Is Katrina there, please?
Sorry?
Is Katrina there, please?
I think you have the wrong number.
Sorry, you saw right through it. It's Armando Iannucci from 1FM. Hello.
Are you after Sarah?
No. Time now to look at the arts. I'm joined by our man about the arts, Gerald Lee. Gerald, what have you been up to? What have you seen?
I saw the video film, top-selling video in London at the moment, Groundhog Day.
Oh, yeah, excellent, yeah. What do you think?
Absolute shite.
Really? Yeah. It's good film.
Yeah.
It's won awards.
Don't know why.
Armando Iannucci on 1FM, Sex with Transistors.
And just to look at the news that's been happening this week, and there was another royal security scare at the beginning of the week when a ruthless man managed to break into Prince Charles. The man managed to bluff his way past four security guards to get inside the Prince of Wales and walk off with 3 yards of stomach gut. It's thought he gained entry when the prince bent down to pick up a child. Sport, and New England manager Terry Venables drew much comment for announcing a greatly reduced England squad. The team is to consist of just one player who will be expected to occupy all attacking and defensive positions across the field. Over the weekend, the new Venables strategy of one-player football was demonstrated at a friendly match against a goalkeeper from Uruguay.
Paul Walsh gets the ball back to the left back, chests it down for Walsh, and clears to Paul Walsh. Walsh plays it back to the long-haired Paul Walsh, takes on Walsh, gives it to Walsh. Walsh is on the edge of the area. Paul Walsh can finish, and he does, and scores!
And it's been a bad week for gangland singer Frank Sinatra, who deflated on stage before 70,000 people last night. Witnesses describe hearing a short pop and hissing during My Way, thought to be an electrical fault, but in fact a small tear in the crooner's lower torso. As the heavily insured air escaped, Sinatra rasped loudly and collapsed into a 2-foot-wide puddle of skin on the stage. Meanwhile, Buckingham Palace were thrown by another unfortunate leak when a photocopy of the Princess of Wales's arse was published in the Today newspaper. The palace claimed that though the arse was genuine, it had been photocopied by the princess for private circulation. And finally, a bitter war of words between Catholic convert John Selwyn Gummer and bishops from the Church of England spilled into churches throughout the country as different Anglican factions broke out into fights during religious services.
Sing the hymn, Judge Eternal.
And on the subject of religious intolerance, we thought we'd kick the series off by attempting to solve all major world religious problems. What we've done is we've commandeered a flat in Halifax, and into it we've put a top Christian, a top Jew, and a top Muslim. We put our cameras and microphones in there to provide us with a sort of living soap to see how these three world major religions get on. So we start now as the top Christian arrives to take up his board and lodgings with the top Jew and the top Muslim.
That'll be the top Christian.
Hello!
You must be the top Christian.
Yeah, I'm Simon Peter.
Hello, Simon Peter.
You must be the top Muslim.
No, top Jew.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
I'm the top Muslim man.
Cat. Right. Come in, please.
Yeah. Come in. Please, well, sit down.
Hi there.
Nice to meet you.
And you? Nice place.
Yeah. Oh, the first thing we've got to sort out is the rooms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've been waiting for you. I've got dibs on which one I want, really, but we've been waiting for you before you start. The thing is,
There's not enough rooms.
There's one or two rooms.
Two of us have got to share, and one's got.
Basically.
And the thing is that my girlfriend will be around quite a bit, and it would be awkward if I shared, really. So if that's all right with you two to share.
It seems to me your two religions are the most similar, so that you two should sleep together in the same room. Judeo-Christian, isn't it? Don't say Judeo-Christian Muslimo, do you?
No.
Wait a second, though, because, I mean, it does... I mean, the other thing as well you've got to take into account, obviously, is that Israel and Arab place. They're basically very close. Oh. They're right next to each other, aren't they?
They're
used to each other's company.
Yeah, don't get on very well, though, do we?
And if you think about it, Jesus, who I believe is the head of your
religion. Yeah, he's Jesus Christ.
Was a Jew.
As a Christian, shouldn't you accept to share?
In theory, yes, but in practice, I can't really share because it's written in the Bible that the lamb shall not lie down with the Muslim.
I sleepwalk. I don't.
Well, I've got to get up very early at 5 o'clock to, start.
The thing is, I can't. I mean,
if I'm there, his girlfriend has to remain hidden in the room all the time.
See, I didn't know about this. I didn't. I mean, obviously, with my religious beliefs, being a top Christian, I don't approve of women before marriage.
Does anybody want any coffee or beer or anything?
Oh,
this is. Hello, are you the
top Christian?
I'm a Dan, teacher training. In maths.
He's sort of here to...
I've just got a spare room.
Just to help with the rent. He isn't a religious. It's just, he's not any religion
at
all.
I didn't know about this. I saw the ad in Lute saying top Muslim and top Jew require top Christian for own room in flat.
Right.
So I mean, for one thing, there wasn't a mention of a maths teacher.
We've explained that. £10 a week each, it makes difference. I mean, I think it's worth it.
Is the problem the Jew's girlfriend? Does anyone mind if she shares with me, then? Because I'm not a Christian or a Jew or a Muslim.
You're the maths teacher?
Yes.
If the girlfriend shares with you, there's still only two rooms left for three of us.
Yeah,
so it doesn't solve any...
Oh, no, I wasn't counting correctly.
Don't Muslims have tents?
It's 9:15, more from the religious flat later. This is an early one from you two, Sunday Bloody Sunday. Sorry, just realised I sounded quite down there. Here's an early one from you too. Sunday Bloody Sunday. More chat show information coming right up.
Bono shares his house with Sir Patrick Mayhew.
U2 recently used proceeds from their last tour to purchase the Kingdom of Rwanda. They are now turning their imperial ambitions to Angola.
U2's guitarist The Edge recently woke up from a drinking session to find his bones on the outside of his body.
Adam Clayton went to school with the Red Arrows.
U2 have no friends.
The Edge is not The Edge's real name. His real name is The Harrison.
Bono's father is a cockerel.
We can be as one.
time now to meet a resident posse for this evening, Mr. Philip Dawson.
Hello there. Hello.
Hi.
It's Dawson's, by the way.
Oh, sorry, Dawson's.
Yeah.
You must have had a lot of stick about that at school.
Not a great deal. People tended to get it right.
Mr. Philip Dawson's.
Mm.
And you're going to go whoop?
No.
Okay. No. Okay. Now, we've just been talking about the furore at the Olympics and so on. Any comments?
Well, I'm a skater myself.
Oh, right.
So, obviously, I find it quite interesting.
What sort of skating do you do?
Well, I don't do competitive skating
No. Like
you see in the Olympics. That's just one part of skating.
Right.
I do commercial indoor skating.
Commercial skating?
Commercial skating from an office.
Right.
On an industrial estate in Oxford.
What, a skating business?
Yeah. We have a team of, you know, as I said, 30 reps. Who we provide with a car and a small rink.
Right.
And we send them out into the field basically to provide skating services for people.
Okay, well that's quite interesting. Could you just tell us a bit then about a day in the life of a professional skater?
Certainly, yeah. Well, I turn up at 9:30 in the morning, put down my briefcase and skate in the office rink from 9:30 till 12:30 when I break for lunch.
Okay, what size is the rink?
It's 20 foot by 20 foot. It's a regular office rink.
So it's an industrial rink, really?
Industrial office rink, yeah.
Okay.
Imported. Then from 12:30 to 1:30 I'll pop out for a sandwich, take off the skates.
Right. Do you never have sandwiches brought in?
No. You've really got to have a break. You've got to have a psychological break from skating for obvious reasons.
I don't know if the rest of the team have any questions for our resident skater.
The thing that I watch skating and what... You must get asked this all the time, but how do you come up with the moves, the skating moves?
From life, really.
Yeah.
From, you know...
Just observing, is it?
Well, like it's a lot of people, you know. You meet a lot of people and you're in a pub or whatever and they say, I've got an idea for your skating here, you know.
Mm.
And you could make a skating routine about what we get up to in our office, you know.
Yeah. we'll have to watch what we say, because there'll be skating moves about us after this.
Yeah, there might be, yeah. There might be a...
How does that work? I don't...
Well, for example, say... I mean, what's happened to you this morning before you came here?
I got up, I went to the toilet, and I skated.
There you go. See? You skated.
All right.
Yeah.
I see. So you would take the skating thing I'd done you would do that.
Yeah.
Could you put together a skating routine now for the end of the show?
Sort of topical skating routine.
Yeah.
Great.
Bill Clinton's in trouble in America.
Yeah. Let me just write this down.
Right, yeah. Bill Clinton's in trouble in America. Right. There's the stuff with that garden, obviously.
Yeah.
There's the whole business of that Malaysian dam.
If it helps, you can also do like Torvill and Dean, bring it in. I mean, it's not that topical anymore, but...
That would be one of the easier things to introduce into it. Of all those things, like what Rebecca's done, what you've done, Bill Clinton, the Malaysian dam, all those bodies in the garden, and Torvill and Dean's ice dance routine.
Yeah.
Of all those things, the easiest thing for me to really incorporate into an ice dance routine would be the Torvill and Dean bit, really.
Really?
Yeah. Right. Yes, okay.
Skating is like that.
Is that because of the skating element of the Torvill and Dean? Is that why it's easiest?
Admittedly, that makes it easier.
Thanks very much, Philip. More from you later. Philip Dawson's our commercial skater.
Steve Wright in the morning, 7 till 9. Simon Mayo, 9 till 12.
Anne Jones, 12 till 2.
Andrew Evans, 2 till 4.
Nicky Campbell, 4 till 7.
Joe Wiley.
Quentin Crisp.
The evening session,
7 till 9. Daytime for 1994 on 1FM.
1FM. A baby boy brings mountains of joy. A cry of a baby girl is a joyous song. But this card is just to let you know you've left all your car lights on.
That's one of the greeting cards for special occasions that we'll be playing throughout the show. Now, I don't know about you, but I always like to wake up in the morning to the news from Radio Berkshire. I live near Berkshire and I'm able to pick it up. And the thing about Radio Berkshire is it provides a sort of unique blend of international and local news. So what we're about to play is one of a selection of offerings from Radio Berkshire, giving them their unique Berkshire insight on the world, all taped off my bedroom cassette recorder radio.
District Council is reconsidering its proposals to prevent cars from parking in the heart of the town after fears that businesses could be forced to close by the scheme. The deal was hammered out over 4 days of talks in Washington. The council wants to improve the appearance of the marketplace and says one option is to force shoppers to park outside the area, leaving it free for pedestrians. The U.S. Secretary of State, Warren Christopher, pledged American support.
If an overall settlement can be reached, the United States stands ready to assist in the reconstruction of these sadly war-torn lands.
But retailers say this could cause shoppers to drive to other towns with more centrally placed car parks.
More international Berkshire news later, but now it's time for Mary with the texture of walnuts.
The walnuts from Davidson's Greengrocers in Newbury are slightly velvety, so you may want to go for those. But watch out for a group of kernels in Warrington, which started off the day fleshy but then bristled out by lunchtime. The walnuts in the north, as far as Whitley Bay in the east coast and Ayrshire on the west, are all finely textured with a loosely layered inner peel, so police are anticipating a heavy purchase all afternoon. While in the south, both nuts have been taken away for resurfacing, so nothing there really until tomorrow morning. That's the texture of walnuts today.
And we're back now with Philip Dawson, our professional skater.
Hey.
Do you think it was weariness or tedium that cost Torvald and Dean the championship?
No, it was an illegal move.
One of the judges picked up on that, didn't he?
Well, they got hold of some nonsense about how he'd lift her overhead, but actually what, they performed another illegal move.
Yeah.
Which was that Jane Torvald shot a dog in the face.
That's not allowed.
It's not allowed. It was allowed when they did their Bolero routine in Sarajevo.
Yeah, well, we all remember that.
Yeah, but now they don't permit it. And there's a particular point, if you freeze frame the routine about two-thirds of the way in, just before the second triple axel, Jane Torvald actually pulls a small spaniel out of her costume and shoots it in the face.
Oh, yeah, I like that bit.
The judges just came down very hard. They said no, they knocked off. They lost about at least 0.2 marks for that manoeuvre.
All right.
It must be very frustrating for them because they did put the spaniel killing back in after the Europeans because they didn't have it in then.
Hmm. Yeah. I think they were very confused because they introduced the... Obviously, when they got there, they had 2 weeks to introduce the dog shooting element into it. There were other things they were planning as well. They were going to rip a cat apart as well.
Hmm.
And
do you think that might have tipped the balance towards gold?
No, that wouldn't. That would have made things even worse because that wasn't allowed either.
There is such a thing, though, as rink immunity, isn't there? Like parliamentary immunity. I mean, there are certain things you can do on the rink that cannot be done outside the rink.
No. You can. There's certain things you can burn tramps in a professional icing rink.
It was more of a crowd pleaser, that one, really, wasn't it?
Didn't the Russian couple attempt tramp burning?
Yeah.
But they didn't have any points taken off for that, did they?
That was the judges, though. The judges are just bent.
All Russian people.
Except for the British judge.
One thing I noticed about the Russian couple is that they raped Czechoslovakia.
Yeah, that's right. I have to admit that raping both the Czech Republic and Slovakia.
Yes.
You don't see that every day on the rink.
It was very polished.
It's skillful.
You'll come back at the end of the programme and do your topical ice dance.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it will be mostly the Torvald and Dean.
Yeah, but the be kind of the odd kind of one-liner.
Yeah.
Philip Dawson's our professional skater.
Yeah.
Amanda Iannucci on 1FM. Imagine Johnny Walker jumping out of a cake.
Now then, do you remember where you were when you heard that President Kennedy had been shot? A tactless journalist once asked Jackie Kennedy that question, but her reply hasn't been recorded. But it's amazing how suddenly snuffing it can give someone cult status. And that's why millions of Nirvana fans were upset this week, because Kurt Cobain didn't actually die from his drugs overdose. Now, instead of being canonised literally to high heaven, Kurt's going to have to suffer the indignity of playing live in Holland, perhaps until he's 59. Professional cynics have been quick to point out what a splendid idea it was for River Phoenix to die. It was a shrewd move, though it would have been better for all of us if it had happened to Keanu Reeves. Kurt Cobain really shouldn't consider himself lucky, though. Look at the example of James Dean and Marlon Brando, who were the popular men's men of the 50s. One died and stayed that way. The other lived on and rammed butter up an actress and wore leotards on the planet Krypton. Like Teen Spirit in a coma. Back now to a religious flat.
What have we got for breakfast then?
Well, bacon, but
Look, you've put... I thought we agreed. You know how offensive that is. If there is any bacon that's going to be bought in the house, you put it in a Tupperware box, in a larger Tupperware box, silver foil, and then not on my shelf.
What a fuss over a piece of bloody dead pig.
Well, that is Satan to me.
It's not Satan, it's Lurpak.
Look, while we're on the subject of the bacon, I've been doing a lot of shopping this week for general house things. And, you know, I've paid out of my own money. I think we've got to work out a fair system.
Whilst we're talking about... Sorry, I do find it quite hard to...
Just having a house meeting.
Can I join in?
Well, for example, this toilet roll.
Yeah.
I bought this now. Everyone uses this toilet roll. At the moment, I've paid for all of it. I think some of us are using a bit more than others as well. I'm not pointing a finger at anyone.
You're the one with the spicy food.
Oh, anyway, 27p for this toilet roll.
Especially.
27p. You're the maths teacher. Five into 27.
Well, five into 27 doesn't go. Right. 4 into 27 doesn't go, but 3 goes into 27. So what you should do is you should split the cost of the toilet paper between 3 people.
So that's between the three of us.
So can I just say, I'm just a little bit confused. I mean, don't get me wrong, but this business with toilet paper anyway. I mean, you're a Muslim. Yeah, Muslims use sand.
I live in England, don't I? We don't use sand in England. That's good. That's in the desert.
I've got the last Safeway's bill right now. Hosts. £5.73.
Yeah.
Now, that's a good 20% of the Safeway's bill. It's on hosts. I don't see why. Look, pork.
Yeah, we're going to get that pork. Petty.
Bagels. I don't eat those.
Yeah, but bagels.
Why don't we all just, if we get everything separate apart from toilet roll, because we all use it.
This is pathetic. Get out. I want that. I'm not having any of this anymore. Get out of my. Look, there's the money. This coin box here. Get this out. It's like Jesus. Get the money lenders out of the temple. Come on. Get out. Go on. Go on. Get out. Get out of my father's house. This is my father's house. Get out.
This is
5,000. Yes, Mr. Kalchowski's, isn't it?
I thought so.
And I thought Radio 1 were renting.
Steve Wright in the morning, 7 till 9.
Hannah Gordon, 9 till 12.
Ted Bundy, 12 till 2.
Mark Goodyear, 2 till 4.
Nikki Campbell, 4 until 7.
Sister Marietta Benson.
Wee Jimmy Cranky.
The evening session,
7 till 9. Daytime for 1994 on 1FM.
95. Strife getting a pretty internecine there in the religious flat. More from those boys later. But back now to our resident critic, Gerard Lee.
I saw another video, actually. Eric Idle's new film, Splitting Hairs.
Oh, yeah.
Brilliant. Hilarious.
It's rubbish.
Oh, no. Eric Idle is the best of the Pythons on his own, I think. Another thing I was watching television the other day. I saw that Desmond Lynham. How do they do that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh,
great.
Okay, just coming up to 9:30 in the news. We'll be back with more from the religious flat, your favourite fights, and to end with, Anthony Dugdale's going to be down here mixing away, giving you the stonkiest mega mix on Radio 1, and of course, The Tramp. That's all coming up after the news at 9:30.
1FM. Imagine Johnny Walker jumping out of a cake.
Get your tractors off our lawn.
Playing a bit more from them later. Also, more on the religious flat. Your greeting cards throughout the... Oh.
Hello, it's the Inland Revenue here. I'm afraid you owe us £10,000.
Yeah, who's speaking?
I'm sorry, you saw right through it. It's Armando Iannucci.
Sorry?
It's Armando Iannucci.
I'm sure you've got the wrong number.
No, it's from 1FM. Armando Iannucci from Radio 1.
Yes, what do you want to talk about, sir?
Oh, sorry, we just thought we'd try one of these kind of joke phone calls that they do on the radio, but... sorry, it doesn't seem to have worked. Sorry.
Now then, do you want to take part in some of the most complicated competitions ever mounted on radio, including postal tennis, five-a-side facts, football, and shout wrestling? If you do, then send me your name, address, your fax number and your phone number, especially your fax number and your phone number, to me, Armando Iannucci, Radio 1, blah, 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 Radio Times. On now, back to the final instalment of, penultimate instalment of our saga at the flat in Halifax that houses a top Muslim, top Christian, and a top Jew, and a math student.
It's 9:30, absolutely fabulous.
No, yeah. No, because I want to watch Commando at 9:30.
That's very violent. That's not very Christian.
No, exactly.
Very violent.
Oh, come on.
It's quite Muslim. I'm surprised you don't like it.
Look, why don't we tape? Why don't we tape absolutely fabulous?
Oh, what was that?
What the hell?
Oh!
For some people, see what that is, will you? What a noise!
Josh!
I don't know what happened at all.
Is the telly still working?
What's happened? What's happened?
The bomb's gone off in the bathroom.
No!
Bomb?
Yeah. The maths teacher trainee's really badly hurt. Right, so, absolutely fabulous. Right?
Hey, hold on a moment. Listen,
who would have put a bomb there?
This is the time when Alison's meant to be using the bathroom, according to the rota.
Oh. What are you saying?
I let him jump the queue. Well, it's obviously meant for me then.
So,
well, who'd want to see that?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to put a bomb in the bathroom, for goodness sake. I'm a Christian. I mean, Christians don't use bombs. They have no time
for somebody
bombs.
Put it there.
Oh, yeah, like they don't in Northern Ireland, do they?
That's different.
One of you two planted a bomb.
No, because maybe you might have planted it.
Name me one top Jew that's ever planted a bomb.
They killed Jesus.
Apart from me. All right, we can watch Commando.
Okay, things getting very exciting there in the religious flat in Halifax. Just gone 20 to 10. And if you've just joined me, hello. We were looking at some of the top international local news from Radio Berkshire, taped off my bedroom radio cassette machine.
It is now 8 o'clock or just gone.
Local and national news from BBC Radio Berkshire. John Major, who's in the United States, is expected to lay stress on the radical strategy for dealing with Berkshire's rubbish in a speech in New York later today. Two new composting plants are to be built to store and rot rubbish in preference to the continued use of landfill sites. Last night, similar sentiments were expressed by President Clinton in Pittsburgh when the two leaders attended a series of public meetings to explain how the composting plants will work.
Radio Berkshire there. Imagine a world full of smiles and laughs and grins. Imagine all its people skipping, shouting and bragging. That's why my wife and I are both sad to imagine your 60-year-old face now is constantly sagging.
Homosexuality is a terrible sin. It's one of the worst sins that's condemned in the Holy Bible by God. And nobody ever gets away with it. Let me quote, God gave them up unto vile affections. Please note, vile affections. For even their women, lesbians, did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Note, against nature. And likewise also the men, burned in their lust, men with men, working that which is unseemly. So, note, unseemly. Receiving in themselves that recompense, note, recompense, of their error, which was meat.
There we are. Typical Radio 4 listener there. Odd or sod, team?
Odd.
Odd, I'd say.
Sod. Note. Sod. That's what I reckon.
So, what about all this stuff, then, about 16-year-olds and 18-year-olds and what they're not allowed to do?
Well, a lot of the argument's been about when you're 16, you're confused, isn't it? And that's what a lot of the argument's been.
Yeah.
Mm. Which is true.
Well, it is true, but, you know, you're confused about a lot of things, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I was, for example, when I was 16, I made my A-level choices, and I chose maths, history and physics.
Mm-hmm.
But then about half a term into actually doing those, I realised I'd rather do English than physics.
Because when I was
do you think
16,
you should have been kept in school until you're 21?
I think so.
Do you think 16-year-olds are generally confused about everything, or is it just about their sexuality?
Yes, they get extremely confused about all kinds of things.
If you just go to any town centre, for example, they are annoying. They get in the way because they're walking in one direction, then they turn round, come back in another direction. You can say instantly, that's a 16-year-old.
16-year-olds in supermarkets are a real bind.
It's a nightmare,
Absolute bind. They just don't know what to buy.
So I went on holiday a couple of years ago, and I happened to wander up into the cockpit, and the pilot was 16, because he was actually meant to be on his way to school.
Right.
And he'd accidentally piloted the plane.
Right.
It's a bit stupid.
Their parents should decide whether they're going to be homosexual or not. I think that would be a really good idea.
They could toss a coin or something.
Yeah, exactly.
I have heard this argument that people say that what is dangerous about 16-year-olds is that they're like joyriders. And this is an argument I've heard. I'm not saying it's my argument. You lower the age of consent, they'll just be like joyriders of the arse, if you'll pardon my French. That's what I've heard.
Drive around the country.
Highly desirable ones will be more broken into than others.
Yeah.
Will they use these arses to break through into shop windows and steal goods?
Are we going to find burnt-out arses just left behind in ditches all over the country?
Are people going to find it very difficult to insure their arses?
I wish I'd never started this. Let's look at it, if that's all right, Armando, it's your show. Let's have a look at it in a different way. confusion, isn't it true that a lot of older people are very confused.
Very, very.
And I mean, they're very confused about everything, but presumably also about sexuality.
Do you think they should, all people should have their sexuality removed from them?
There should be an upper age of consent, I think. Yeah, right. It's a very good idea. Yes.
What should it be?
38. 40, I'd say 38. Yeah.
Yes. Well, maybe it's going past outlawing old people.
Okay, back on all that stuff a bit later, but on now to Tramp Karaoke. Our programme has sponsored a tramp. We've picked him up off the streets and given him a creditable career in the music industry. He's been recording a number of duets and trios with lots of top stars. Bring out a CD of classic tramp numbers next week. Here's one you may be familiar with. It's All for Love with Sting, Bryan Adams and a tramp. When it's love,
be strong.
There's a reason why
I prove to you we belong.
I'll be the one that protects you,
yeah, from the wind and the rain, from the hurt and the pain.
Time to go over now to the 21st Van Olympics taking place in Sheffield. Hundreds of vans from all around the world are convening in Sheffield for these games. Over now in the main stadium is our correspondent Andy O'Hagan. Andy, how's it going on down there?
Hello, Armando. Yeah, well, that's it. It's over now. Probably the most exciting Van Olympics, well, certainly the most exciting ones that I've seen in 300-year history. Today's been absolutely tremendous, I have to say, with Britain carrying off four gold medals. Clive Markle, the big van from Newcastle, set a new world record of 4.32 metres in the van jump, beating by a clear centimetre the previous figure set by the German Ford Transit Gunter Eriksson. Meanwhile, on the other events, the two van team, Peter Penz and his brother Astaroff, romped to victory in the Bob van, and the lovely Jessica Standish, an F-Bridge Chrysler four-wheel drive from Chester, she drove away with gold in the van skating after a routine which finished with her tipping forward onto a bonnet, performing an absolutely stunning triple axel, and then finally flinging open her side doors to release 200 tiny men into the auditorium. That brought the house down. Really
great, great, Andrew. And what's been a highlight for you?
Well, no doubt some people would say that the most exciting event was the show jumping, in which a very small van has to complete a very, very difficult circuit strapped to the back of a horse. But for me, the most exciting event really has to be the Vanathon. I mean, let me tell you, the sight of 80 vans from all over the world struggling to complete the gruelling 26-mile drive from Rotherham to Sheffield in shorts. And let me tell you something, it's not warm at the moment. That is something that's going to stay with me for a long, long time. Unfortunately, our own Nigel Wright, the perky Fiesta from Penrith, had to retire early after he got a family clogged in his grill. That was a bit of a shame. But still, that was the one for me, I have to say.
Thanks very much, Andy, and don't go driving into any walls. And, well, we're listening to three men singing together. It's about time we went back to the subject of gay sex. So everyone around here, open your mouths. What do you have to say?
How are they going to go about explaining the new law to... Because the government are really into these kind of trendy leaflets now, aren't they? Kind of explaining the whole AIDS issue and kind of the language that kids will understand.
Yeah, they're going to... apparently they're going to use John Inman in a campaign. He's going to go around to each school.
Yeah.
You know, pretty much like a policeman comes around to your school.
Yeah.
And explains about the police.
Right.
John Inman's going to come around and explain about gayness in
right.
schools.
16, 18.
And he's going to explain the language.
Right.
And they've got these great leaflets showing, like, John Inman. It's photographs of John yes. with doing various acts. Yeah. And yes. there's a big tick across the photo you can do. I mean, you can still see them. And a big cross across the photos of what you can't do.
Mm. Right.
The love and evil. And what's safe and what's not safe.
Mm. They're going to use that I'm free thing as well. Because, you know, John Inman was in prison for having sex with an 18-year-old man.
And now he's
But
free.
Now it's legal, so it's I'm free. Because I've been released from prison. Because it's now legal to do what I did.
No, he hasn't been in prison. He just he hasn't had any work.
And he is
what,
indeed
and I'm free.
Free.
That might I will provide
that
myself
might be
free to work.
That's his agent's yes. catchphrase.
Yeah.
John Inman, they obviously can't do all the schools. So they've got to get people to dress up in
John Inman costumes.
Yeah. Big, 10-foot tall
Well,
John
no,
Inman
schools are being issued with John Inman kits. That can turn a teacher into John Inman. Basically, it's a grey wig, and it's a suit that is similar to the one he used
the
to wear. Now you're being served an instruction leaflet on how to be John Inman.
There are safety pins in the shoes pointing upwards, which help with the walk.
Mm. Yeah,
right.
And a roll of lino to help you, so that you can sort of put your arm around the roll of lino and then take the roll of lino away, and your arms
in that position.
And there's a small hammer. I don't know if you saw Misery, the film Misery,
right.
of the week when Kathy Bates
hammered.
She hobbles.
James Caan. Never worked together.
It's a special hammer that you hit your hand with that breaks your wrist,
right.
so that you automatically, you know, you don't even have to think about how.
And there's also a pound of mints there as well, isn't there?
There's a pound of mints, and
don't know what that's there for.
Molly Sugden was actually a man dressed as a woman.
Oh, yeah, everyone knows that.
So that's another confusion.
Lance Percival was actually a little child.
Kid Jensen was. That's why he's called Kid, but that's it was an ironic reference.
He was when in the first few years of his life, but then he grew up.
Boy George is a boy.
Emperor Roscoe is actually an emperor. It's true.
Duke Ellington.
And Martin Luther King was actually crowned king
of...
Martin Luther.
And how about Marmaduke Hussey?
Brazen Hussey.
To his friends.
Hence the stick.
And the funny walk.
The funny walk.
Now, is there... just before we start, is there anyone else we haven't insulted?
Now then. This music. Every time we hear this music, we know it's time for one of your fights. In The Fight of My Life, a selection of the best fights... from my Radio 1 listeners, and it's a good one this week. Dear Armando, my fight took place on board an ocean liner. My husband and I were celebrating our 30th wedding anniversary with a cruise round the Azores, and one afternoon, while bossing over my husband was asleep, I was up on deck for my usual reminder of the sky. It was there that I was casually interfered with by one of the passing crew, a young Portuguese sailor called Patrick. I thought nothing of the interference and turned to move on, when suddenly Patrick said to me, "Do you want a fight?" I didn't know how to respond at first, but very soon agreed, and quickly went to stretch his cheeks apart with my fingers. However, Patrick easily intercepted the manoeuvre with an arm flick that neatly trapped both my hands in a clever vice of pain. Three of my fingers cracked under the pressure, but I became all the more hungry for a fresh attack. I immediately lunged at Patrick with a small conch shell I had bought that morning from a trinket carnival, aiming for his leftmost eye. The aim was sure, and the conch hit home. I had drawn first blood, but had unwittingly left my underbody, skirts and legs vulnerable to seizure. Patrick bloodily slumped forward and pinned both limbs to the deck with a nearby plank, and quickly punched me repeatedly again and again in the small of the back, pausing only to rasp the abrasions across a stretch of now red deck cord. We wrestled for nearly 4 hours, and I returned to Bossanova's room that night a bloodied but a better woman. I'd never spoken to my husband about my fight, and I've only met Patrick once more when, 3 months ago, we bumped into each other in Eddie Izzard's garden. I've never forgotten him, and I would like him to know how much I miss him and his 8 hitting knuckles and 1 retching head. Yours, Mrs. Mary Whiteley, Bournemouth.
Stipe, lead singer of REM, recently followed a lamb for over 40 miles.
REM's drummer was born in the shape of a £1 coin.
Now it's time to sing along.
May be allergic to eggs.
Amando Iannucci on 1FM, the voice of reason, but from a collapsed lung.
And time now to go back to our flat in Halifax to see how things are getting on in our living religious soap.
Well, as top Christian, I'd like to say that it's been an interesting experiment, but I think the main thing I can take from this is that my previous Christian beliefs, which preached tolerance and acceptance of other people's religions, they were basically wrong.
As top Jew, I feel what I have learnt is very much like what you as top Christian, and I'm sure as top Muslim, we can all come together on this one thing, that tolerance is not a good thing, really. Judaism is right, and the other religions stink.
I think it's Muslim that's right, then.
What a surprise.
Bit of a shame about the maths teacher trainee, of course. He passed away on Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, do you remember that? Yeah. After being blown up in the bathroom.
This experiment has got another 51 weeks to run, but we've had 1 week, and I think what we all feel now, one thing we do all agree on, is that it would be much better if we lived separately.
Separate flats, I would say, completely. So not
yeah, not just, it hasn't helped. Mark died, we each had a room each, didn't just work. Didn't help.
I think separate flats in probably separate countries.
Yeah.
Can I just say something in closing, is that you still owe 12 pence for the cheese.
Well, there you go. All major religions can only work together by living apart. Gerald Lee, our resident critic.
Yeah, well, my critic's choice of the week has got to be Absolutely Fabulous, which is literally absolutely fabulous. It's marvellous. Brilliant storylines, this second series.
How do you rate it over the first series?
Well, I hated the first series. Awful, terrible, rubbish. But they really picked it up and you know, I think they've cut down on the budget or something, you know, and concentrated on getting top-class jokes out. Marvellous.
Yeah.
Followed by Ben Elton as well, which, again, you know, he's the funniest man on the telly.
He is, actually.
He's very good, isn't he? Coming up with so much new sort of ideas.
What was he talking about this week?
I think it was toilets and feminism.
Oh, really? What did he have to say about those? Because I just saw it 2 weeks ago when he was talking about bottoms.
It was similar, but different, because it was poo, I think, this week, and it was weird. Yeah. Yes, he's very good.
Thanks very much, Joe.
Thank you.
Amando Iannucci on 1FM. Wicked, but not wicked enough to merit criminal investigation.
Right, and we're out of time. I'm just going to play us out with the master mega mixer, Anthony Dugdale, who's with me here.
Hi.
You're joined by all the consoles and the mixings and samples here. What are you going to play for us tonight?
I've got a nice little two unlimited for you. I'm going to mix in over the mega mixer 12-ply double track, and I think you quite enjoy the Thunder Drive as well.
Okay, and what is it? Let the beat control your body.
Let the beat control your body.
Let the beat control your body. Let the beat control your body. Let the beat control your body. Let the beat control your body.
Let the beat control your body. Let the beat control your body.
Thank you, David Schneider, Rebecca Front, Peter Bainham, Richard Herring, and a tramp.
Let the beat control your body. Let the beat control your body. Let the beat control your body. Let the beat control your body.
Thank you, Andy Dogdale on the console.
Thank you.
No time for the topical skating routine. Control your body. I'll be back at the same time next week when I'll just be finishing my show. Send faxes and phone numbers to me, Armandi Nucci, at the Radio 1 address for the biggest competition ever next week.
Time to move your feet, get on, y'all.
My Radcliffe coming up soon. You can't get this in the shops. Bye. It's Bye. 10 o'clock. Tell your body.